Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I only want to say that we Christians, we must grapple with a problem that other religions can more or less ignore. In both of the other Abrahamic traditions, by which of course I mean Judaism and Islam, God is God and humans are humans. This theological state of affairs makes things quite clear. If you talk about God, you talk about God, and if you talk about humans, you talk about humans. But we Christians, never content to just let things be, have tinkered with these distinctions. We follow Christ, who we say is both human and divine. Both human and divine. How does that work? If we only knew. Every clergy person, scholar, monk, and pious pew sitter has been trying to figure that one out for millennia. Thousands of pages of ink have been spilled, and quite a bit of blood, too. But has anyone adequately or definitively answered this question? Some have said that Christ was entirely God and was just pretending to be human. Others have said the opposite. Some have speculated about the exact percentage of each, but none of this has done much good. Just how exactly an individual can exist in a manner that is both human and divine remains something of a mystery. And I only want to say that I prefer it that way. In terms of how you and I actually live as Christians, I don't think there is much to be gained by splitting hairs about the questions of this nature that we can never really resolve one way or the other. Some might consider this a defeatist attitude. Certainly, we can learn something from historical speculation. Perhaps a newly unearthed manuscript will give us fresh insight. Perhaps a divine revelation can offer us the truth of the matter. Perhaps. But I only want to say that accepting the mystery is not a cop-out. On the contrary, I am convinced that religion is about living within mystery. A problem like this does not call upon us necessarily to engage in an elaborate historical, theological, or even mystical contortion in order to solve. The confusion itself has deep meaning. The mystery itself is rich terrain to explore. Today, of course, is Palm Sunday. And liturgically, Palm Sunday is a bit of an odd day. Why? Because our liturgy on this day recognizes both the human and the divine sides of Christ's story. If we look at the human side of the story, we see Jesus' triumphant return to Jerusalem. The humans in this story, including the human part of Jesus, enjoys this joyous moment when Jesus enters Jerusalem and is recognized as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. From the human perspective, this is a moment to pay homage, to wave palms, giving Jesus the honor he deserves. We know that there is another side of the story, though. Jesus, the divine part of Jesus, knows it too. Returning to Jerusalem is hardly a triumphant return. To call it triumphant is ironic, to say the least. Another story is being enacted here. As we wave the palms, a divine story that is hard. Jesus has come back to Jerusalem to face betrayal, arrest, denial, and even crucifixion. And he knows this. This story too, this painful story, is acknowledged when we wave the palms. And so, I only want to say that our act, this liturgy of the palms, elegantly reflects the confusion of the divine and the human that is embodied in our Savior, Jesus. We celebrate and honor Jesus, while also we weep inside for the pain, suffering, and death that we know that he will soon endure. In the second gospel lesson, Jesus takes three of his disciples and goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. This story shows us Jesus at his most human and his most divine. The divine part of him knows what is about to happen. He knows that he is about to be arrested, that the sequence of events that have been destined for him are about to gather unstoppable momentum and hurtle to their violent conclusion. He knows, and the human part of him is filled with pain. He understands, as only one of us can, the beauty and the suffering that merge into this veil of tears that we call human life. And in this one dire moment, he prays. I only want to say, if there is a way, take this cup away from me, for I don't want to taste its poison, feel it burn me. I have changed, I'm not as sure as when we started. Then I was inspired. Now I'm sad and tired. Listen, surely I've exceeded expectations. Tried for 3 years, seems like 30. Could you ask as much from any other man? But if I die, see the saga through and do the things you ask of me. Let them hate me, hit me, hurt me, nail me to their tree. I want to know, my God, I want to know, my God. I want to see, my God. I want to see, my God. Why I should die? Would I be more noticed than I ever was before? Would the things I've said and done matter anymore? I I'd have to know my Lord. I'd have to know my Lord. I'd have to see my Lord. I'd have to see my Lord. If I die, what would be my reward? If I die, what would be my reward? I'd have to know my Lord. I'd have to know my Lord. Why I should die? Why should I die? Can you show me now that I would not be killed in vain? Show me just a little of your omnipresent brain. Show me there's a reason for you wanting me to die. You're far too keen on where and how, but not so hot on why. All right, I'll die. Oh, just watch me die. See how I die. Oh, just watch me die. I've tried for 3 years, seems like 90. Why then am I scared to finish what I started? What you started, I didn't start it. God, thy will is hard, but you hold every card. I will drink your cup of poison. Nail me to your cross and break me. Bleed me, beat me, kill me. Take me now, before I change my mind. A religion that brings before us both the human and the divine, brings before us all the mystery of eternity and all the beauty and pain of living in time. This is a full gift. Can we know God without knowing most fully our own pain? This is the question of a Gethsemane that was answered on the cross, and also with the stone that was pushed aside. Amen.